So this morning we talk about the subject of peace, it seems it's difficult to talk about peace when you look at the world around us, but that's not new for today. That's been the case for quite some time. My mind goes to the well-known Christmas carol and poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And that too was written during a tumultuous time in Longfellow's life. The country was at war with itself. Just a few years prior to his writing this song, his wife had passed away in a tragic accident. He himself was injured to the point where he was not able to be at his wife's funeral because of that accident. And then he's now sitting at home writing this carol, and his son has been injured in the war as well. It was a painful time for him. And there's no wonder why we find the line in the song. He says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." If someone had told me that Longfellow had written that poem last week, I probably would have believed him. It's not hard for us to look around and see that this world is lacking in peace. And yet, we've already heard from Isaiah 9 this morning, and we'll hear now about Christ, our peace. And so we struggle as we look around us and we say, well, where is that peace? But it's there. I think oftentimes we just look in the wrong place. And so for good reason, Longfellow concludes the poem by saying this, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." How does he conclude with that when he looks around him, when he sees his own son recovering? Because he knew where to look for the peace. The perceptive listener in that song will hear a quote from Scripture. That quote comes from Luke 2:14 to be exact. From out of the King James Version, the angel's song, you remember well, they're sitting out there on the hillside tending to their sheep, and the angels come out and they tell the shepherds about the Christ child that has been born just over there in town in Bethlehem. And they start to sing with the heavenly host, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's how we read it in the King James Version. But most Greek manuscripts tell us a little bit more. And so if you read it in the English Standard Version, that same verse will go on. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace among the and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." You see, if we go looking for peace on this earth, if we go looking for peace on the 5 o'clock news, we're going to be led to dismay, just like the second to last verse of the Christmas carol. But if we know where to find that peace as defined by God's word, then we can conclude the wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why is that the case? Because the passage makes it clear in Luke 2:14. There is peace among those with whom he is pleased. Among those with whom he is pleased. So then we have to wrestle with the question. You're thinking, we still haven't gotten to Romans yet, have we? We're going to get there. But we have to wrestle with the question, with whom then is God pleased? And is it not those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, who have faith in his saving work? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 makes this clear. It says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Therefore, we understand biblically that there is peace given to those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. In those with whom he is pleased, it is now seen as to be those who have faith in Christ. But we have to then ask, what does that peace entail? And that's where I want us to spend our time this morning, looking at what that peace entails. So if you would, let's pray together again this morning, because we're going to be jumping around a little bit. It's different for us. I'm not going to ask you to stand up this morning, so you get a morning off again. But let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Father, we thank you for what we celebrate, Lord, not just this time of year, not just, Lord, in a couple of weeks. We celebrate the truth that you sent a rescuer to us every waking moment. of our lives as believers, because we know that had you not sent Christ, we wouldn't have nothing to celebrate at all. But Father, this morning as we look at the peace that you have given to those with whom you are pleased, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, comfort our hearts with that and move our feet with that message, that there is a way to be at peace, Lord, with you, with each other. And Father, I ask that you would use your word now, Lord, to guide us, to open our eyes, Lord, to think correctly about you and about what you have done and about what you will do. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Lord, and we ask that you use your word now to make us like your son. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. The very first aspect of this peace that we have, that Christ has given to us, is that we have, as believers, we have peace with God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The passage is quite clear here. There is now peace, but at one point in time, there was not. And so we have to understand that there can be peace with God only by being justified by faith, and that faith is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the implication in the passage here is that in the life of every Christian, there was a moment when he or she was not at peace with God. If you are here this morning and your hope is in Jesus, there was a moment when you were not at peace with God. There was no rest between you and God. There was no ambivalence. There was no, I'm indifferent. There was only animosity. There was only war between the non-believer and God. And the reality that we all have to come to grips with is this: you were not born a Christian. I don't care if you were literally born in the church meeting house. You were not born in the church, because the church is not these four walls. It's the people who have the Spirit of Christ living within them. And no one is born into the family naturally. They have to be born supernaturally into the church of Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that the implication in this passage is that now that we're justified by faith, we've received peace with God through Jesus. The Bible's quite clear on this. You and I are not naturally indifferent to God. Quite the opposite, actually. Scriptures describe us as hating God. It describes us as enemies of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, if you read on down, it says, therefore, if while we were enemies, and remember, Paul's not writing to non-believers here. He's not writing to people who don't think the same way you and I do. He's writing to believers. And he's saying, this is all of us, myself included. There was a point in our lives when we were enemies of God. But he doesn't stop there. If you read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, he describes every believer as those who, quote, were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We were once outside of, we were once away from Christ, away from God. We were not just indifferent, we were hostile in mind. We can't say that we genuinely sought after God. The psalmist says that no one seeks after God. God sought after us. But then on top of that, we weren't just alienated and hostile in mind, we were walking in evil deeds. We may be thinking, I wasn't robbing banks or doing anything. We can even go and do good things, and the scriptures tell us that we can do good things with bad hearts, and it becomes tainted by sin, therefore it's evil deeds. And this is, there's only two options here. This either was your story, or this is you right now. But that's not all, right? As any good TV salesman would say, there's more. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, and you know the passage well, but hear the first three verses. And you were once dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Wow, that's quite the description. We were dead, spiritually speaking. You weren't halfway breathing. You were dead, gone. There was no spiritual life in you whatsoever. But on top of that, he describes as dead men walking. The second portion of the verse there says that we were walking in sins and trespasses. This is not something that we dabbled in. This was our natural mode of living. We walked in trespasses and sins. But then he goes on, he says that we were following after the world. Following after the course of the world, just like everything else and everybody else, doing what came natural. But not only that, he says that we were also following the prince of the power of the air. That is Satan. And remember, he's talking to believers. But he doesn't stop there. He says, not only were we following the world, not only were we following Satan, but we were living in the passions of our flesh. And that he describes that as this: we did what came natural to our body and our mind. Well, this is what comes natural to me. Of course sin comes natural to sinners. That's who we were. Of course sin comes natural. Of course these things come natural to us. We did whatever we thought would be best. We followed the age-old advice, follow your heart. It always ends you up in judgment. He describes us as children of wrath, and then he says there at the last part of verse 3, like the rest of mankind. We were just like everybody else. There's just no getting around this fact here. Folks, outside of Jesus, we could not be friends with God. There was no peace, there was no neutrality, there was no indifference, there was no genuine love for the Lord, but we just had not found him. No, Scripture makes it clear, outside of Jesus, there is only war. With our hands raised high in rebellion against the Creator of the universe, and we actively sought out to take his glory from him and take it and apply it to our own lives. That is what we wanted. And right about now, you're probably all thinking, Merry Christmas, right? You think, listen, a Christmas message? No, it is Merry Christmas, because notice something here. Every one of these passages are all in the past tense. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 are all, this is who you were. Colossians 1, 21, this is who you were. Romans 5, 10, this is who you were. Romans 5, 1, this is who you were, but not now. Hear the passage again, Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by peace, we have, this is the present tense, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That describes who we were. We were at war with God. And if you're not in Christ, you still are, but you can lay down the sword, and being an enemy of God, you can walk out of here a friend by trusting in the finished work of Jesus. There is peace with God. So yes, we say Merry Christmas indeed, because we were once enemies, but now we are called friends. 1 John chapter 3, he says, see with what kind of love the Father has loved us, that we should be called children of God, and we are. That you, that me, when we look in the mirror and when we see just our reflection, we know what's behind that, and we see all the wicked things that we've done and thought, and we could say that the God of the universe would want me and his family. That should sweep you off your feet. That we can have peace with God, all because Jesus has died in our place. That's amazing. That's amazing. If you would turn now to Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to pick up a little further than where we were just a moment ago. Ephesians chapter 2, not only has Christ given us peace with God, but he's also given us peace with our brother. He's given us peace with our brother. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're kind of jumping into a passage here right in the middle of it. So let me give you a little bit of backdrop. Paul has just in verses 1 through 10 described the story of every believer. We just heard the past tense of our lives. But then he's now described them as, but now you're not that, you're this. Well, then he zooms out a little bit, and he starts to describe, beginning in verse 11 and moving through the end of the chapter, he starts to describe what the body is, the church. And he does so particularly focusing on two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles. And for anybody who is a little confused on Gentile, it means not Jewish. anything that's not Jewish. That's it, right? So Paul then goes in to describe this, what the effect of Christ giving himself has done, not just in our own personal lives, but in the body of Christ. So pick up in verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens. That's not who we are anymore. But your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So Paul is describing here in this text how Jesus has, you saw in verse 14, he's broken down that dividing wall of hostility. Now listen, we have to acknowledge the reality here. In the lifetime of many of the people sitting in this room, we can say, I vividly remember a time where there was a strong divide in our culture over ethnicities or anything like that, right? You don't remember a time where the divide was as strong as it was between Jew and Gentile. We've never known a divide like that in our culture. That divide was unspeakably large, where these people, there was so much bitter hatred between Jews and Gentiles. And what we need to be able to see here is this. Paul is saying this big, great divide that we thought could never be brought together, Jesus tore down the wall. Jesus broke down the wall. And what was the purpose? Verse 15, you see, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, and the result is given there. So making peace. Jesus broke down this dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile, and then he says, the point here is going to be a result of peace. And right now, I see this going on in our world around us. We want to build back up what Jesus broke down. We want to build back up by saying, let's just create more and more divides here. But Jesus broke down this dividing wall. And if he could break down the dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, he can do it between anybody else, regardless of the color of your skin, the contents of your bank account, where you went to school, where you grew up. Jesus can break down that wall. Hear the rest of the passage with emphasis on there. And that he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And there's only one Father. He goes on. So you're no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Something that people in that day and age could not fathom was Jew and Gentile in one body on equal footing. But that's what Paul says happens. He says, this is what Christ has done here. Believers, we can have peace with one another because of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished. And it broke down more than just a barrier between Jews and Gentiles. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter whether you're here from there. In Christ, we're one. In Christ, we're one. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We're one. And this is radically opposed to what our world is pushing so hard today, that we want to further divide people. But no, in Christ we can be brought together and have peace one another with our brother because of what he has done, because he's broken down the dividing wall of hostility. Jesus came to tear down those barriers that exist between us and God, but between each other. How dare we try to build it back up? We're now united one to another in the body of Christ, regardless of race, financial status, background. He tore down the wall so that we can have peace with our brother. So don't try to build it back up. John MacArthur said, well, when he said the cross is God's answer to Judaizing, racial discrimination, segregation, apartheid, anti-Semitism, bigotry, war, and every other cause and result of human strife. That in Christ, even the most bitter of enemies can now become together and called brothers and sisters, friends of God and friends to one another. And 1 John makes clear that we're called to love one another. Because by the power of the resurrected Christ and his Spirit living within our heart, we now naturally, because of the supernatural work that happened to us, love our brother. And John says, if you can't love your brother, then you're not a brother. We have to be able to love one another. And this is all because of what Christ has done. So when we're walking with Jesus, it causes us to be at peace with our fellow believers. So let me ask you the question then. What is your relationship like with other believers? It's easy to say my relationship with other believers in my church is great, but what about other believers who may go to a different church than you? Maybe they meet at 11 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock now, right? What is your relationship like with them? Because in Christ, we can be one. Jesus prays for it in John 17, that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. Why? So that the world may know that the Father sent the Son. Christ has made peace with God. He has made peace with our brother, but he has also granted us peace within. He's also granted us peace within. If you're still following along, flip over about three or four pages to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know this passage well. You remember it. We talk about it often. We're going to look at verse 7 of Philippians 4. We see that Jesus gives us peace with God. He gives us peace with our brother, but he gives us this peace within our hearts as well. He gives us rest from all of the unrest and weariness of trying to work our way to God, of trying to earn his favor, because we could never do that. He has given it to us freely. He gives us peace in our hearts because we know that his work is finished, as he said, and that God is pleased with us, not based on my work, but he's pleased with us based on his work. And therefore, we have peace within. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And we look at this passage here, and oftentimes we hear this, and in the context here, Paul is talking about being anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication to make your requests known to God. He's talking about we can bring everything to God. But oftentimes when we hear people talk about this peace that passes all understanding, we talk about it like it's something out there that you hope falls on you when you walk out of the building, right? When we pray about it, God, just put that peace in them, you know? It's like a burger you're going to go through the drive-thru and get. Or something that'll fall off the roof when you walk outside. Just let your peace fall on them. No, it says that it's already there. We already have this peace. It's not something we have to go looking for. We have this peace in Christ. And what is it, though? It's a sense of tranquility and rest because we know that Jesus wanted us at our worst, and now he won't turn me out now because he's already started working on me. Jim already prayed about it this morning, that God is not going to let up on us. He's not going to give up on us. He will finish what he started. Paul reminded the Philippian believers of that in Philippians 1:9, where he tells them that he's sure that God is going to finish the work that he started. He's going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And so, believer, we then can have rest in our own lives because we know that God is faithful. He will finish what he started. He is pleased with us based on the finished work of Christ. So I'm not working to earn his attention or his love. I'm working because I have his attention and I have his love. And that changes the way we live our lives. And it changes the way that we feel when we fall flat on our face because we don't have a father who's like a drill sergeant to slap us upside the head. He's like a loving father who picks us up, cleans us up. And yes, he might have to put alcohol on our scrapes and it hurts. But discipline is a sign of love. But believers, we see that we're not at rest because of our work, but of Christ's work. And this is good news. Christ has given us peace. It's knowing that even when this world hates us, and hate us it will, because we have a guarantee from our King whom it also hated. It's knowing that that's okay because Jesus has already promised us. John 16:33, he said, I've said these things to you. Why? So that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, this peace is ours in Jesus Christ. So what do? We walk in it. We walk in that peace, in that rest that comes from knowing that the work is finished, it's done, and now we can walk and honor our King and live for Him because He loves us so. This is good news. Christ has come to give us peace, peace with God, peace with one another, and peace within. So what do we then do with that? Let's put the car on the road and see if it'll drive. What do we do? Number one, I would say this, we fall to our knees with gratitude. We fall to our knees with gratitude. Has it ever occurred to you that God did not have a rescue plan for fallen angels, but He did for us? That should blow you away, right? Has it ever occurred to you that God was not bound to rescue enemies to His throne? That He would have been just in saying, we're done. You had your one chance. I gave you 100 chances. I'll give you 1,000,000 chances. You'll be out of them before the week is out. We should tremble with gratitude because of what God has done for us. Number two, recognizing this peace, we preach it far and wide. We tell the world. Well, I tell you what, we get really passionate about some dumb stuff sometimes. Sorry, the filter just comes off. We get really passionate about some dumb stuff. If you can have a 30-minute argument about which basketball team is better, but you can't have a 5-minute gospel conversation, you're not right. Your priorities are out of whack. We preach this peace far and wide. Ephesians 2:17, hear it again. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. We tell everybody about it. We shout it from the rooftops. We take every chance we get to let people know there is a way to peace with God, and it's in Christ and in Christ alone. Nothing else will satisfy, but nothing else is so great as Christ. We yell this as loud as we can. Why? So that they too can have peace with God, because we recognize that we were once in their same shoes. Maybe our sin looked a little bit different than theirs, but you and I were once enemies just the same. And so we preach this peace far and wide. We preach this peace to the lost. We preach this peace to one another, because we need to realize who we were and what God has done to make us who we are, so that way we will walk as who we are and not who we were. So we need to hear it just as much. And we look in the mirror and remind ourselves of it daily. We preach this peace far and wide. We need to be reminded of the great rescue that Christ has done. Church, Christ has come, and because He has, we may have peace. The world can have peace. But how are they going to know if somebody goes, unless somebody goes and tells them? We've got to let the world know. So we close this morning with the angels' song again, Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Let me ask you this question. We know that faith in Jesus is what pleases God. Is He pleased with you right now? Nothing else pleases Him but faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith in the Son. Are you trusting in Christ right now? And if you are, who are you talking to about this peace? Who are you talking to about this peace? Walk it out. Live it out. Revel in it. Good gracious. Become braggarts. Right? That'll be the only pulpit in town to say that today. Become boastful people in the cross. Become boastful people in the Prince of Peace, and say He can be your King too. He can. Believers, we have peace with God, and that's good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love for us, and we thank You for the peace that comes because You have sent Your Son. Father, I pray that You remind us daily of who we were, but who we are now. Lord, that we would walk in that peace with one another, that we would not seek to avoid it, that we would not seek to to justify chaotic relationships with our brothers and sisters, Lord, but that we would strive for peace because Christ has broken down the barriers. Let us not try to build them back up. And Father, remind us that this peace is ours in Christ, Lord. So when we turn on the nightly news and we see the brokenness of this world, we can still have peace within because you have achieved it for us. We love you. We thank you for this gift. Lord, may we not squander it, but may we be faithful with it and tell the world. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.